Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Lord God. Please bless us today, Lord, with your wisdom and draw us unto yourself. And Lord, put us in your word, Lord, constantly building up our faith. And thank you, Lord. Amen. And we're going to start off with this revelation about healing and promises for the bride. This was given to Claire Pinar, 3:14:22. I dreamed I was on the outreach Zoom meeting, and I was the only one there. I believe I represent the bride body because my name means brilliance, which represents the righteous acts of the saints and her lampros garment in Revelation 19. Michael was on the other side of the screen in the Zoom meeting, and he was very smiley. Michael represents Father because his name means who is like God. Amen. The Zoom outreach represents the Father's outreach through his man-child reformers to his elect in these days. He threw green leaves all over towards the screen like he wanted to shower me with green leaves. Well, the green leaves represent the healing that will be given to the nations through the worldwide man-child reformer ministries. He will pour out his anointing and gifts upon the man, child, and the bride to bring healing to his elect among the nations. Revelation 22, verse 2 says, "In the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." As you know, Jesus, the man-child, went forth and brought much healing. And so it will be in our day. Then he reached further back into his room and took what looked like pieces of rainbow and started throwing these at me too. Some of these pieces looked like mini rainbows. And some looked like broken off pieces of bigger rainbow with all the colors. Still, other pieces were only one specially colored piece of the rainbow. Well, God's elect, even his first fruits, have gained varying levels of his wisdom and maturity and are from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And they all display the rainbow attributes of the light of Christ to varying degrees. And when he returns, he will fill us up in the areas that we're lacking and complete our understanding. Amen. I think others, she said, then appeared to receive these rainbow pieces, and I was no longer alone on the Zoom meeting. So it's catching, right? The bride will be the first to partake of the healing of the nations. And what is it that will draw the church and save their lives? The rainbow represents escape from the worldwide destruction. So this represents grace to escape the curse of death. And in this case, also, this is by the knowledge of the coat of many colors, just like Joseph wore, who escaped death. And Jesus is the light, and the colors are the attributes of the light, the nature of Jesus. 2 Peter 1 and 2, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." It's already been done. "Through the knowledge of him that called us by his glory and virtue." But of course, we have to know it's been done, right? whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, that is, those precious promises, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Well, notice, what is about to be taught will cause the church to escape the corrupt world and its curse of death. Amen? Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. Well, notice, all of the seven attributes of Christ, the light, are provided in faith. And there was no comma after diligence in the Greek. So these are the seven refractions of light through a prism. Supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, notice that each one is in the previous one, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that knowledge, of course, is power, right? And notice that these attributes are gained by the knowledge of Christ. And also that everything has already been provided. We just need to partake of it, right? We need to ask God for grace to partake of it. Amen. So the rainbow, she said, is a sign of Father's promise to never again flood the entire earth. Genesis 9:13-16. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. Praise the Lord. And she said, I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Praise be to God. Amen. Okay, again, the importance of gathering in this knowledge of the Word. We call this purchasing the pen of a ready writer. Claire Pinard, 3:11-22. I believe this dream is about leaves for the healing of the nations. I dreamed I was in a Christian bookstore. I believe Claire is still in this representing the bride to show herself approved. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was looking for a mechanical pencil to do Bible study, but it was so difficult to find one. There were many engraved, overpriced pencils all around me, but nothing that was simple and inexpensive. Well, I think this probably represents that these overpriced pencils represent the works of our hands, leaning on the arm of the flesh, which always costs money. But God's works, represented by the simple mechanical pencil, are inexpensive and simple because we purchase them by our faith in the blood of Jesus. And also we purchase them with our life. You have to give up something in order to take time to study the Word of God, but you're putting the Word, who is Jesus, in your heart when you do. I waited so long, and I was so patient with the lady at the cashier. And this brings to mind Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself." And this waiting patiently on the cashier probably represents waiting on the Lord, which produces the fruit of the Spirit, especially long-suffering, which brings this refinement. Amen. There were many other pretty things available, and I saw many other women come into the store buying things. But I only wanted to buy a pencil. Well, that's the way it is with the bride. They've got an interest in studying the Word, marking the Word, right? So none of these other women were talking or smiling, and they all seemed to buy gifts for other people. I was only buying one thing for myself, however. Well, that tells you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be gathered unto you, right? However, I had to buy a two-pack. And that brings to mind this, Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Amen. It's by grace, isn't it? Right? We do buy it with our life, though, because you have to give up something to do this, right? And that is your life. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" They do it all the time. "And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Well, God's ministers are not to charge for God's gifts, but to live by faith. Freely you have received, freely give. So if you go find out somebody that's doing that, well, you're more likely to find truth there. "I asked the cashier to give me extra lead because I was going to write a lot in my Bible. She did not have extra lead and told me to go to another convenience store, but I did not want to. And while there, the Holy Spirit told me to go home, so I did." Well, we must trust the Lord for our manna daily and not store up or it'll just breed worms. Right? You can't save your Bible study today for tomorrow, because you have some you have to get today. And if it breeds worms, of course, it's lost forever. If you don't get it today, it's lost forever. Now, we are commanded to gather a day's portion every day, that He would prove us whether we would keep His commandments or not. Yeah. "I went to my father's old house." Well, Claire's father represents our Heavenly Father. His old house represents the old paths of the original church that was imputed with power. Right? Jeremiah 6 and 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." So I climbed into my dad's side of the bed. The bedding was really old blue bedding with white little flowers printed on it. The blue bedding, she said, represents resting in the heavenlies, and the white flowers represent purity. Well, the bride rests in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who is the Father of eternity, in sanctification and purity from the world and its ways. Amen. Rest has to go along with study in the Word, because you always see things you need, but you can always ask and believe you have received, and then you're at rest, right? Amen. "I then looked up, and Michael came into the room. I looked down and realized that I had a green clutch or small purse and a mechanical pencil, and I saw green leaves in my Bible." I believe the green clutch and the green leaves represent Father's provision for tribulation and ministry. Amen. Then I replied, I don't have anyone to shop with, but look, now I have this pencil, and there's one for Rion too. Then Michael said something else, and I don't know what it was. Perhaps he said something about the green leaves on the page. He was being kind and supportive and smiled at me. Well, it's important for the bride to study the Word and gain the fruits of the Spirit in order to be able to pass on the leaves of healing to the nations. Amen. Remember, Jesus sent out the bride, didn't he? He was the man child, and he sent out the bride into every place that he was going to, what? Come. That's right. So, Psalm 45, 1 through 17 says, My heart overfloweth with a goodly matter. I speak the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Well, the tongue writes the word upon the heart, and the word is the nature of Jesus, right? Which brings the man, child, and bride to maturity, and that's spoken of right here. So thou, that is Christ in the man-child, art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty one, thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride on prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp. The people fall under thee. They are in the heart of the king's enemies. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of equity is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And all thy garments shall smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. And out of ivory palaces stringed instruments have made thee glad. Amen. King's daughters are among thy honorable women. At thy right hand doth stand the queen in gold of Ophir. That's the bride. Hearken, O daughter, still speaking to the bride, and consider and incline thine ear. That's what she was doing with that pen of the ready writer, right? Studying the word, getting it in her heart, right? Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So will the king desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and reverence thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, and the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter within the palace is all glorious. Her clothing is inwrought with gold. She shall be led unto the king in embroidered work. That's number one. That's in the book of Esther. You know, she was chosen out of all the fair women in the kingdom and brought into the king's house. And then, of course, tribulation happened with Haman the beast and so on and so forth. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. They shall enter into the king's palace. Notice it's after the bride, right? Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. In other words, the bride is going to raise these people up, these virgins up, whom thou shalt make princes in all of the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the peoples give thee thanks forever and ever. Okay, here's a revelation given to Marie Kelton. She called it, Father gave 100%. It is enough, quote unquote. I had a dream that it was a sunny day, and I was parked in the rest, by the way, by Brandy and Amber's house. I was in my car, and I was sitting in the passenger seat on the right side. So I guess this means letting the Lord drive by obedience to Him. We're just followers, right? I had my door open. I believe it probably means to hear from the Father. Then Don, meaning world ruler, representing the Father, came up and said to me, "This should be enough." And he handed me $100 in $20 bills. Well, I believe this is meaning what the Father gave was his Son, and 100% is taken care of. When he said, "This should be enough," that's what we should believe, right? So we can't add to what he has done, because he delivered us from the curse and provided everything at the cross. I told him that he didn't have to, but he gave it to me anyway. Okay, it's true. He didn't have to, but he gave it anyway. That's what grace is all about. So representing the five $20 bills represents grace, because he didn't have to. It was an unearned gift. And wherever we lack it, it is our fault because of unbelief, for he gave it all. Even our rebellion is from unbelief. Esther 2 and 9, and also verse 13, says, "And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him." I believe this is talking about the Holy Spirit. Please the Holy Spirit in you, and you will not miss God. "And he speedily gave her her things for purification." Speedily, notice that. "With her portions. And the seven maidens who were meet to be given her out of the king's house." And those were seven attributes of God, right? "And he removed her and her maidens to the best place of the house of the women." And also verse 13. "Then in this wise came the maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house." Whatsoever she desired was given her. 100%, right? Oh, praise you, Father. It's all been given. All we got to do is reach out and take. Okay, and also Claire got this on 6:8:22. "I will make all thy border of precious stones." Her first vision, she said, "I dreamed I looked like a bride," representing the bride body. "I saw a hand being put into a glove that looked like knight's armor. And when the hand went inside the glove, it looked more like a bag of treasure. Then I realized it was my own hand, and I could feel many different jewels in the bag." Well, we've had many dreams of the bride receiving gifts when the man-child returns. I believe this is what this is talking about. She said, "I had a vision of the jewels in the dream, and they were so beautiful and sparkling in the following colors: blue, red, green, pink, purple, a lighter blue, and pure like a diamond." The precious stones are given to the bride. They represent valuable gifts of God's nature, which are a protection, as armor is a protection, right? And we know that righteousness delivereth from death. There's your protection, right? Isaiah 54:11-15 says this, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will set thy stones in fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy pinnacles of rubies, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy border of precious stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. So it'll be the Lord teaching then, you know, when you have all of his gifts abiding in you, his treasures abiding in you, then what comes through you is him, right? And great shall be the peace of thy children. Praise be to God. Thank you for that, Father. In righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. And whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. All right, her second vision. Later in the same night, I was cupping my hands, and a fine white salt was being poured into them. I was wearing a beautiful white robe with long draping sleeves. There was so much salt, it was overflowing from my hands. It felt calming and therapeutic. The salt of the earth, I believe, represents preservation. That they didn't have refrigerators back then. Salt was very valuable for that. Jesus told his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." In other words, his disciples had a job to do. The word in his disciples preserves people from the curse of sin and of death. Amen. Decay, in other words, right? And also, Eve Brast had this on 11/5/2018. Provision to preserve and build the kingdom. Amen. That's where we're at right now, folks, that provision. I had a dream involving a Monopoly game board. It was no coincidence that as I sat down to write, an announcement on the radio said that on this day in history, November the 5th, 1935, Parker Brothers introduced the game of Monopoly to the public. How's that for a confirmation? So I believe Eve is representing the bride of the last Adam, and which is Jesus, of course, in this dream. Eve said, "I dreamed I was sitting in the dining room of our old house on Vanderbilt Road in Texas." Vanderbilt is representative of the wealthy elites. According to Wikipedia, the Vanderbilts were once the wealthiest family in America. The Vanderbilts' prominence lasted until the mid-20th century when the family's 10 great Fifth Avenue mansions were torn down, and most other Vanderbilt houses were sold or turned into museums in what has been referred to as the fall of the House of Vanderbilt. Instead of a dining table, there was a green card table. And she puts a note here, the deep state elite house of cards is falling. This is true. It was dark in the kitchen area, but there was a light shining down on the card table. Father is signifying the light on or calling attention to this event. There was an empty Monopoly board game on the table, and three men with slicked back black hair sitting around the Monopoly board with me. Well, black hair, I believe, represents submitted to darkness, as 1 Corinthians 11 speaks of the hair, right? And the elite behind the deep state are playing the game a spiritual monopoly, and they are losing due to God plundering them to redistribute their wealth. Yes, it sounds a lot like the Vanderbilt, right? The only thing each of us had been given was the usual amount of monopoly money that each player receives. There were no houses or hotels or game tokens to move around the board. So the value, or its lack thereof, is not in the material possessions, but in the funny money itself. Eve was just sitting there, resting in the Lord. All things are provided freely in the rest of faith. The monopoly money, and now thought to be worthless, is the dollar that once supported the deep state. And as we will see, they are losing the game just like the Vanderbilts. And the dollar is going to go the way of the dinosaur. Suddenly a pair of dice appeared above the board as if an invisible pair of hands was shaking them. Yep, all of the everything is in God's hands. He is sovereign, right? Then the dice were cast onto the board, and they came up 3 and 4, equaling 7. Wow. So God rolls the dice, which are his, and he wins the game. He has his own people at the table to receive the gift. The three men all declared, 7! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. In a defeated and disgusted tone. 7's God's number, right? He won. So God has defeated the elite who plan to use this currency for their own New World Order. And, of course, in these days, to depopulate the world. Then they all got up from the table and took all their monopoly money and stacked it in a large pile on top of my money. And then it all turned into real money as they left the game. Well, the revaluation of currencies are to come up on a par with the dollar. In other words, the dollar will not be worth more than the rest of the world's currency, which of course gave them the advantage, right? But as we see here, the dollar will be able to be traded in for the new rainbow currency. Hence, those with worthless currencies will find they have become real money on the way to making a one world currency. And this is necessary to bring in the mark of the beast, too, by the way. You can't stop it. It's from God. But in the short term, this will be used to build the kingdom, and as in the temple of God, right? But the temple of God these days is his people. And to build his people, the word has to get out. Obama had planned to take the Christians down, and then the elite would take all. But Trump, who, as Cyrus did, plundered Babylon, deep state, and will, through the RV, contribute vast wealth towards the rebuilding of the kingdom. Amen. That's what happened with Cyrus, and that's what's going to happen now. I then realized I'd won, even though I didn't know I'd been playing. Yes, the bride is going to win, because it's all going to be a gift to her, right? So none of us have been playing their game, but like this, it will be given, right? And Eve could represent the corporate bride, of course. And she said, I was so amazed by this, and then I woke up. Yeah. I looked at my phone and the time was 3:33, and I thought of Jeremiah 33:3, because I had asked Father to show me more about his plans and what he is doing. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great things and difficult, which thou knowest not. So I said months before this that I wondered if the elite would be taken down so that they could not be involved in this revaluation, and that their currency's value would then be left to be divided to the people of God. And now I know it was a word of knowledge. So I asked Father for a word concerning the Monopoly game and the black-haired men, who I believe represents the elite deep state, she said, and my finger was on, "Shalt thou reign?" Well, this text is speaking about Zedekiah representing the fat cats of Christianity who will not reign in this new kingdom, but neither shall the Babylonian deep state, because both of these are together parts of the dragon who is cast down in Revelation 12. And Jeremiah 22:15 on down says, we're going to go 12 to 17. But in the place whither they have led him captive, there shall he die. He shall see this land no more. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness. I want to say a lot of preachers are doing that, and a lot of politicians are doing that too. All of the leftists are doing that. And his chambers by injustice, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not his hire, that saith, I will build me a wide house and a spacious chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar, and painted with vermilion. Shalt thou reign? There it is. Shalt thou reign? So those who were sure they would reign by collecting enormous profits from the revaluation and plundering God's people have lost it. And the people's monopoly money is now worth much more, for the till has the money, the elite's money in it, and it will be divided as God sees fit. But thine eyes and thy heart are not but for covetousness, and for shedding innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Well, now most of the world can see that. Okay. I then asked for a word for the men giving me all their money, and my finger was on Matthew 6 and 29, in context 28 through 34. And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And when I pasted this underlined text in this article, I accidentally turned to the background red, but this underlined part was white. And I know of no way that this could naturally happen, and my accident was providential. So believe God to supply for you in the coming wilderness as he did for Israel. Amen. No, notice their supply was supernatural out of heaven, right? Verse 31. Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How powerful. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. And also, this verse came to mind, Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Yes, indeed. Okay, this is a very interesting prophetic word from Julie Wedby. It's called The Bridal Chamber, 7:3:22. My beautiful children, the appointed time has come for my espoused to enter the bridal chamber. Your journey has been long and the road most difficult. Enter in, my beloved, for I will now close the door to the inner chamber, the most holy of holies, where no thing defiled may enter in. In displaying the glorified life while living the crucified one, you have carried my torch of love, the love that burns deeply from within my heart for all my creation. You have emptied self and its desires in order that only I may enter in, fashioning your vessels into sharply refined instruments through which I manifest my presence in this realm. My torch has been the keeper of your soul. It has been a light in the darkness. It has been your shelter through the storm of this journey. The burning love of my heart has carried you when you were too weak to even lift your head, and it has been the healing balm for your wounds. And you have given me everything that has ever been closest to your heart, and in turn, I have given you my heart. There is nothing that compares to this gift. You have allowed me to make my home in your heart, to tabernacle with you, and you have been given an open door and the key to freely enter the holiest of places in me. Our journey has been one of great challenges and great obstacles, but together we have overcome them all. The gift that you possess has been a beacon of hope to many, a breath of air in the dark places of this life. But now I will do a new thing with you. I will always share what I am about to do with those I love. And I tell you this, this chapter of your journey will now end. I have called each one of you, and I know you by name. I have given you a name that is completely unique from all others, a name that embodies our journey together. That could be the name of Jesus, you know. We take on his name at baptism by faith, but we're taking it on continually as the water of the Word puts to death our old life, right? And nature, the name means nature, character, and authority. She continues, I have fashioned you for my purposes, and your name has been engraved on my hand, and you are sealed. You who have overcome will find your name in my book of remembrance. You wear my signet ring, for you are ordained to rule and to reign, fulfilling all my purpose for you. It is my robe that you wear, dipped in the blood of my sacrifice, that has given you the victory over all things, for I have purchased this for my espoused. You have not questioned the cup you have been given to drink, but rather eagerly drunk of its contents. Not questioning the will of your Creator in order that my will only is done in and through you on earth as it is in heaven. My kingdom and your home. Amen. You have separated yourself from all that is impure and sought to be holy in all manner of things pertaining to this existence. Your obedience has been costly in this realm, But what good is it if a man gains all in this world only to lose his soul for eternity? Yep. This life is only a vapor, but your time here, since being born again in me, has been served well. You will hear the long-awaited words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. For my reward is with me, to give unto you according to your righteous deeds. Your treasure is in me, and my treasure is knowing you have given all of you in complete surrender and obedience. You who have overcome will inherit my kingdom as my sons and my daughters. As I close the door to the past and our journey thus far, I give you my complete peace as you let go of all that has been your reality here. This will not be of any matter to you now, for I am doing a new thing. You would not even believe it if I told you beforehand. The cares of this life will leave you, and the attachments will be taken away. And all that remains for you now is my love for you and for those yet to come into the fold. What once was will now be no longer. It is now a time to mourn any. It is not a time to mourn any more, for the former things are passing away. Rejoice that our time has come. The past is done, and you are now entering the realm of timelessness." And I would say the past here is speaking about the crucifixions, especially those from the wicked around you, right? "The realm of oneness with your Creator. He who is outside of time, outside of the dimensions that I will now release you from, enter in my loves, enter fully in and immerse yourself in my pure essence. Your garment of righteousness is the fine linen that I have prepared for you, that which has been weaved so intricately during your journey into intimacy with me. The garment for you will radiate my glory from within, as we will consummate our union in oneness for all eternity. Each thread of your garment represents a moment where you overcame, a moment during your time here when you chose me above all else. Each thread of this garment pulses with the glorified light that I used when I formed you so beautifully in your mother's womb. Your radiance will be like a precious jewel. Each thread that I weave anchors the purity of our relationship together, every fiber harmonizing with the other, creating the tapestry that is you made in the image of me. The very name of who I am is encoded inside each fiber of you, for you are mine. Each thread of your garment will now sing of my glory, a glory I give to no other. The frequency you have formerly known will be raised now to come back into alignment with perfection. A pure and spotless garment I have created for each of you, woven from my perfect love. You are my treasured ones. You are my jewels. Come, my beloved espoused, into the bridal chamber. Come and meet your king, Yahushua." Well, okay. Glory be to God. God has wonderful plans for his bride and through the bride to the body. As we know, Jesus was a type and a shadow of the man-child in our day, and he said he was coming again as a little baby born to a woman in John 16. And he's coming again in a corporate body we call the Man-Child Reformers. And the Bible calls them the Man-Child. And their job is once again to repeat history and bring the woman into the wilderness. Now, inside the woman is the bride, as we've seen in the book of Esther. A part of the woman is the bride, and that is the queen. And Jesus sent forth the bride, which were those first fruits disciples of his that John called the bride, right? And to raise up the church, to come into the image of Christ, and to put on those beautiful garments, right? So God's got a perfect plan. It will be perfectly fulfilled. The question is, will it be with you and with me, right? We offer ourselves, you know, as the prophecy clearly shows, we offer ourselves to the Lord, a sacrifice of self to God, so that he can use these vessels for his glory. We take that pen of a ready writer, and we write upon our heart the word of God, which is eternal, which when it comes out of us and goes into others, it is also eternal. And so we are the salt of the earth. We are to preserve God's people around us with the word of God. God's going to do a powerful, powerful work. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And so the bride will be the first to be given that gift, just as it was in the Gospels. And the bride will distribute this gift among the people. The healing of the nations. I'm sure the healing is both physical and spiritual. We've lived under such a curse, and it's been passed on to us through the blood. And yet we've been given new blood. And Jesus said, except you drink my blood and eat my body, you have no part in me, right? So we do partake of that life of Christ in us, and that word of God in us, so that Jesus can live in us and through us to the people around us. Lord, we thank you so much for your wondrous plan. And it's been pretty clearly delineated here today. Your wondrous plan is to live in us and through us, and to bring others into the same relationship. So thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for finishing the good work we started. Thank you that it is by grace and not by works. We enter into this grace through faith that our Lord Jesus took away our sins and gave us his life, and that now we behold him in the mirror and we're changed into that same glory from glory to glory. So that's it. We accept this free gift. We now see Jesus in the mirror. He lives in us now, and we don't live. And we thank you, Lord, for fulfilling all of our faith in this really true gospel that much of the world Christians don't know. And so thank you, Father, for the true gospel getting out, that people can understand that it is by grace, a gift from you. And we just accept this gift by faith. We accept it. We believe it. We believe what God says. We confess it, the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. And we thank you, Lord, that it's all going to come to pass. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to finish doing. Oh, Lord, we understand now that a lot of shaking is about to happen. And, the plots and schemes of men are falling. The deep state is falling and being replaced by another kingdom, which is also going to prepare us for the tribulation. So, Lord, all worldly kingdoms are just that, worldly kingdoms. There are some better than others, for sure, and we thank God for that, too. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for your kingdom becoming all over this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, saints, and God bless you. Good night.